Let us hear what the Bible tells us about the tongue. Jazz and Sarah are going to bring us our reading this morning.
Don't be in any rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is highly responsible work. Teachers are held to the strictest standards, and none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life.
A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets the course in the face of the strongest winds. A world out of your mouth may seem to no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it.
It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony into chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell.
This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God our Father. With the same tongues, we curse the very men and women he made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth.
My friends, this can't go on. A spring does not gush fresh water one day and brackish the next, does it? Apple trees don't bear strawberries, do they? Raspberry bushes don't bear apples, do they? You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear, cool water, are you?
We can make choices about whether we let our words be a weapon or whether we use them for good. To do this requires self-control. We need to stop ourselves letting wrong thoughts slip out and cause hurt to others. This can be hard to do. Once the words are spoken, they can't be taken back. But if we do hurt others with words, we need to be ready to say sorry and make things right that we can have by building up or knocking down someone.
You know, our tongues can be quite sharp. And the story of the Wemmicks, it is true, we do love to put stars and dots onto people, or we're terrified stars and dots are on us. So, did you hear the story, by the way, of the lady talking to a friend? And she said, you know, I didn't know what happiness was until I married my husband. And now it's too late. The things we say, it's not a personal experience, can I just say, you know. The things we say can sometimes have more impact than the things we do. The way we behave, we think it's really important, and it is, but often just those little comments, those little asides, those little things are the things that really hurt. It is, if you think about it, totally weird, isn't it, that we talked about dangerous weapons, but actually wounding and blessing can both come out of our mouths. One minute we can say something that's really nice and it encourages somebody and they go away with that nice warm feeling and a smile on their face. And in the same moment, we can make a little comment, a small comment, and people go away thinking, ouch, that hurt, that wasn't nice. It's like eating a cake that tastes good and bad at the same time. It's like Harry Potter's Bertie Bott's every flavour beans. Yeah? Because there was no way of telling for sure what flavour any given bean was without tasting it. Although you could try and guess by the colour. There were ordinary flavours like chocolate and peppermint and marmalade, but also less fanciful ones like spinach, liver and tripe. And there were strange and unusual flavours that weren't actual foods, like grass, farm dirt, vomit, earwax, paper and bogies. I move swiftly on. So I find it really interesting that the passage was beautifully read for us this morning by a man called James. James was the half-brother of Jesus. and he compares the behaviour of the tongue to gathering olives from a fig tree or raspberries from a strawberry plant. You know, there are lots of odd analogies there. Or getting really nice water and horrible water from the same source. And he talked about the difficulty of taming the tongue. Ah, like wild animals. Be a lion tamer, or as the message puts it, be a tiger tamer. I'm always interested why they changed that. Maybe taming tigers is harder than taming lions. But the power of the tongue is disproportionate. That means it's bigger than we think. For the size of the thing, it's bigger. And that man, James, used three pictures to remind us of what the power of the tongue is like. And I thought we'd just go back to those pictures. The first one was about horses. So I have a horse with me this morning. Oh, yes, I do. Thank you. You see, somebody knows how to do this. Yeah, so I've got my horse. All right. It's my hobby horse. Have you got a hobby horse like this? No? Well, okay, I thought I'd bring my horse. Anyway, I couldn't get the other one through the door. And, of course, the important thing with a horse is the reins. How do you control a horse? Well, with reins. And there's something missing on this hobby horse. It's the bit. So, here's one I prepared earlier. Well, actually, it's one that somebody lent me earlier. Okay. So this is the closest I've got to a real horse. So this is the bit that goes in the horse's mouth. Wow, it looks quite formidable when you see it like this. But this, and then this, you know, the reins would be attached as well. But this is quite a small thing. I'm actually not very fond of horses. I like motorbikes, but I think they're far safer than horses, all right? Ditto, yes, right. I've got, yes. Somebody in the corner there is agreeing with me. But this can make a horse turn, or that way, or stop, or go. I mean, your legs help, and pulling the reins help. Yeah. But this is what keeps it under control. The bit that goes in a horse's mouth. And James says, you know, that is really significant. The tongue is like the bit in the mouth of a horse, he says. That tiny thing controls the enormous power and energy of the horse, and is used to give it direction as well as stopping and starting. James, when he wrote that, of course, didn't own a horse, I suspect, but he'd seen the Roman horses, the big military horses, as they were parading around the streets. So he knew what powerful animals horses were. And then he compares, the second picture he uses is that of boats. And I guess he'd seen lots of boats in his travels. One of the biggest boats that I guess we all are aware of is the story of the Titanic. And I was reading that the Titanic was 269 meters long. Now, I tried to use Google Maps to help me work out how long that was in the high street. But if you started at Domino's pizza place, I reckon you'd get about halfway up. You'd almost get to Peacock's, I think. If you're not sure that's right, try it. Take 269 long steps and see how far you get. And it was 28 meters wide. But the rudder was only 24 meters high by 4.5 meters wide. Now, I did a bit of estimating with a bit of string the other day. The balcony, the top of the balcony here is 4 meters high from the floor. So from the floor to the top of the balcony is about 4 meters. And it's about 5 meters from the top of the balcony to the roof. Okay? So you could have got the Titanic rudder height-wise in this room, and it's 12 meters from that back wall to the glass screen at the back there. So twice the length. That's really quite small compared to the size of the ship. The ship was 11 times longer and 6 times wider than the rudder. The tongue is like the rudder on a boat. large ships weren't unknown in the ancient world, and the ship that originally was used to transport Paul across the Mediterranean en route to Rome held 276 people. So we know large ships could carry a lot of people, but they were controlled by quite a small rudder. And then the final picture he uses is that of fire. Well, people get a bit nervous if you have fire in church. So I've brought a candle. In fact, I've even brought an electric candle. There you go. So it's really safe. We like the idea of controlled flame, don't we? You know, where it's safe, where we know what's going to happen. But James says the tongue is like a fire. Gets out of control. And what's rather interesting is he uses the term Gehenna, which is a background image to a place, a valley, where there was not a raging inferno, but more like a peat fire, where it was smouldering underneath, like those heather fires we saw perhaps back in the summer in national parks that they couldn't easily control. You didn't always see the flame, but the fire was there burning, smouldering. So there are those three pictures of what the tongue is like. Needs to be controlled, like a horse. Is small, like the rudder on a ship, and can just burn underneath, almost unseen. Its power, both for good or for ill, is out of all proportion to its size. Mandy got us to stick our tongues out earlier. Some of us of a certain generation, or maybe younger ones as well, have you ever been to the doctor? And one of the things they said was, would you stick your tongue out? Then they'd look at your tongue or press it down with a thing that looked like a lollipop stick, only it wasn't, yeah? But they could tell a lot about you just by looking at your tongue. What comes out of our mouth is a good index of our hearts and the health of our hearts. So how will you use your tongue today? When you go home, when you go into school next week, when you sit in the coffee shop, how will you use your tongue? Will you use it to encourage people and build them up? Or will you use it to criticize them and complain and to discourage them? Well, it is, of course, up to you. It's up to me. It's up to us. We're going to sing again. And this song just reminds us, really, of, if you like, if God had a tongue, I guess this would be what, if you like, his word would be like. It refers to it as like a lamp, something that instructs us, that guides us, that encourages us, that builds us up. Thy word, God's word, is a lamp unto my feet. It's not much good. You can get a lot of head torches these days, can't you? But unless you lower your head, it doesn't help you to see where you're going. You want a light by your feet so you can place your footsteps in the right place. When I feel afraid, when I've lost my way, the light is there.